you're listening to Cross the Border, do take some time to visit my website, crosstheborder.org. You'll find many interesting things there, and many interesting articles that to take advantage of. The videos there are there for you to watch. You'll find prophecy videos there to pay special attention to the Greatest Prophecy, Chapter 1 of the Greatest Prophecy DVD, crosstheborder.org. And when you get there, do sign up. Some of the videos are password protected, and some of them aren't. To watch them all in HD, you'll have to sign up for a subscription there. But please do. Just give me your email address. I'm not going to besiege you with emails. You'll probably get, you know, two or three notices a month that I posted something, because I don't post one article a day or 10 a day. If I do one a week, that would be something. So you won't be besieged with emails of things happening on things, unless things get really heated up. But I'm sure that you'll find the articles and the posts there interesting enough to hopefully say to yourself, I would like to know when Nicholas posts something else on his website, crosstheborder.org. So please do that. And that lets me know you're listening. Helps out a little bit. If you want to support, there's information there on how to contact me and how to support the broadcast and support the work that I'm doing here. We're going to jump back here into Lamentations, the final chapter, the prayer of Jeremiah, chapter 5 and verse 1. Remember, O Yahuwah, and of course he uses the Hebrew name here, which we have substituted for with O Lord in the authorized King James Version. Either way you like it, that's fine with me. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned, and we are not. Our fathers have sinned and are not. And we have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We got our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Princes are hanged up by their hand. The faces of the elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee. And you know, that's a proper prayer. Turn thou us unto thee. The prophet acknowledges the fact that the nation has turned away from God, and it is for the sins of the fathers that the children are suffering. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, Yahuwah, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. So much, but so late. A nation that did not repent, but utterly rejected. Yes, there were faithful in the Heavenly Father because of the abomination, the overspreading abomination of the nation. He took out many of the faithful, and he removed them from the land. And they'd hardened their heart because everything, all the good were taken away, or most of the good men were taken away when the king of Babylon came in. And they removed good men like Daniel, Ezekiel, and they took them captive to make them servants in Babylon to put them to work there. Daniel and some of his fellows in the king's court in Babylon, Ezekiel living in a settlement of the Yahudi, the Jews, there by the river Tibar, in a settlement they called Tel Abib, in Babylon. And so he removed many from the destruction that was to come. And yes, that influence, that good influence of some faithful remnant that was removed, I'm sure that also had its effect on the city. And the faithful that were left behind, they didn't listen to them, like Jeremiah. They didn't listen. They would rather listen to the false prophets, the purveyors of self-righteousness, those that point to the sins and the faults of others and give us another way to fix the problem, to stop the judgment. Because they don't look at it as judgment from the hand of the Almighty that's coming on America. All of our ills are because of this group or that group or the international bankers or the Rothschilds or even the Pope. All of our ills are because of that, because of those. But if we do this or that, if we vote for the right people, or if we protest enough on this or that, but no, don't even think about changing your ways. You know, you can protest the bankers and the Fed, but yes, do take advantage of food stamps and Social Security. Well, why shouldn't you? You have all the good reasons to look to the state for benefits while you're trying to destroy it and throw it off. You're never going to throw off the Fed. You need the Fed. You don't like national health care? Well, you need it, though. You're smoking cigarettes and eating pork and disobeying his commandments for how you should eat and live. So you need a health plan. Because God's health plan ain't going to work for you. His health plan is to live right, to obey his commandments and not pollute your body. That's right. So you need that. So while you say you're trying to throw it off, you're embracing it at the same time. It doesn't work. Your action speaks louder than your words. That's right. Your action speaks louder than words. You can protest and you can point the finger all day long. But while you're sucking at the breast of the beast, that's all that speaks louder than all of your protest. Taking advantage. Or while you're destroying your health by not learning to live by his commandments, not believing that his law, the dietary law that he gave in the word, was for your own good. You just think it's a burden because, well, you know, if God loved you, he wouldn't mind if you ate bacon because it tastes good and it pleases you.
Yeah.
So therefore you think you should be able to do it. Okay, well, then, hey, that's fine. You know what? The Heavenly Father does allow that. And he says, yeah, go ahead and do that if you want to. That's right. He even let Sodom and Gomorrah fall in debauchery, you know? He let them do it. Yeah, go ahead if that's what you want to do. Oh, Israel, you want a king like the other nations? You're not satisfied with me being your king? Okay, go ahead. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, but yeah, if that's really what you want, go ahead and do it. If you think that's going to make you happy, you go ahead. I'm telling you, you're not going to be happy with the result, but yeah. If you can't deprive yourself of pork because bacon just tastes too good, then you go ahead and eat that which I said will destroy you. Yeah, that's right. You're right. You can do that. Go ahead. You have the liberty. You have the liberty to destroy your life, to destroy your children. Jeremiah says it here. He says, let me find that again. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. You say you love your family. You say you love your wife. You say you love your children and your grandchildren. Really? Do you continue in sin? that your children can bear your iniquities? Because they do. He wrote it right there in the Ten Commandments. He said, if you love me and keep my commandments, then I will have mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. But he says, if you don't, that you hate me. And he says, I will visit the iniquity to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You know, that's what Jeremiah is confirming here when he says, our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. You say you love your children? Keep his commandments. Learn obedience. Repent. Yeah, give up bacon. And then your children will learn that you gave it up because you wanted to be obedient to the Heavenly Father. And guess what? They'll walk in your footsteps. And they won't suffer in their flesh. They won't need Obamacare because they bought another health plan. And that is the Heavenly Father's health plan. His health plan is obedience. He says, you obey me and I'll visit none of these diseases upon you that I have visited upon the Egyptians. Why? Because the Egyptians didn't follow a dietary law that was given by God for their own health. They did things that destroyed them. So you're doing things that destroy you, that destroy your nation, and your children are learning to do those things. Where do we break the chain? Where do we start learning obedience and teaching our children obedience? Because we love God and we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's really what it means, to love God, to love your neighbor as yourself. And who is your neighbor? Your children are your closest neighbor, your wife, your family. They're your closest neighbor. If you love God and keep his commandments, guess what? They're going to have a good example living with them of what it means to love God and keep his commandments and then love their neighbors yourself. That's what you're doing because you're teaching them obedience and they won't suffer for sin. Perhaps your father suffered for sin and his father, but you can break the chain. You can stop it now and learn obedience. Repent. Like I said, the times that are coming on the earth, yes, people should be afraid. Should be very afraid. I feel the fear. I see what's coming. I don't like it. I don't want to be caught up in it. You know, wise man sees trouble coming and he hides himself. The foolish man, he doesn't see and he gets snared by it. Yes, you make preparations, but how do you see the fear coming and how do you know the trouble coming and how do you know what to do? You need to be led by his Holy Spirit. And that begins with repentance. The only prayer that the Heavenly Father hears of the wicked is a prayer of repentance. That's where it begins. And if he hears that prayer of repentance, you really want to stop doing the things that displease God so that you can learn obedience, so that you can obtain the salvation, the gift of eternal life that he wants to give you, that he provided through his Messiah, his Redeemer, who paid the price with his own blood for your sins so that you could escape death. You want that? Then pray, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Teach me obedience. Write your law upon my heart that I might not sin against you, that you could be my God, my Elohim, and I could be one of your people. I could be true Yahudi, called by your name. Teach me obedience. And then the Holy Spirit will immediately come upon you, and then he will convict you of sin. Where's he going to start? Well, it's been my experience that he starts with purity, sexual purity. That's where he starts. If you don't get that one right, you don't move on until you get it right. He wants you to be pure. So if you're a harlot pulling tricks for a pimp, get out, leave, go away, no matter what the cost. If you're living in fornication with a woman, you're a man, or you're a woman living with a man in fornication or adultery, stop. If you're living in sodomy with another man, participating in bisexual activities, whatever. If it's not according to his law, that's where the Holy Spirit begins. Don't let it end there, because I'm afraid that's where it ends for most people. Right there. They can't give that up. They can't walk away from their lover. Yes, and everything they feel is good and right and as it should be, but the relationship is sinful. If it's adultery, fornication, or sodomy, And you have to leave it right there. That's where the Holy Spirit begins. Don't blaspheme His Holy Spirit by continuing in that, because you'll never move beyond, and you will not be led by His Holy Spirit, because you will not allow His Holy Spirit to lead you. So when trouble comes, His Spirit, why would He lead you if you don't follow Him? How are you going to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit if you don't let Him start there where He wants to start? Number one is sexual purity. That's number one. And then after that, well, the cigarette smoking, the drugs, all of the other things that keep you bound and are destroying your flesh. Then later on, yes, you might have to learn to give your money, give up what God has given you, put things off, learn obedience in your financial affairs. And then what next? Maybe learn to put off those things that He said aren't good for your health. You know, eating pig meat and the ocean's vacuum cleaners, you know, the things that go along, crawl along the bottom. That's what I call them. All those bottom feeders, you know, that you love so much, the crab and the shrimp and the catfish, all the bottom feeders in the ocean, all the scavenger meat on the surface, like pig. I mean, you might as well eat pig, horse, whatever. At least horses aren't scavengers, but God has not given us horses for food. I mean, if I was starving, I'll tell you, I would eat a horse. But it would have to be dire circumstances. I don't believe it would come to that, because I believe that the Heavenly Father would provide. The scripture David wrote, I've never seen the righteous go hungry or begging for bread. And so far in my life, that's proven out. You know, I'm righteous, and I could say that I'm righteous because I put on His righteousness. I've sought first His kingdom. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He provides everything you need. That's why the righteous don't go hungry or beg for bread. I don't have to go to the state for food stamps. I have so little faith that I believe that, yes, I could go hungry for a day or a few days. You know, it might do me some good to fast for a while. Perhaps I should practice fasting. You know, perhaps we all should practice fasting once in a while. You know, skip a meal now and then. Skip a day if the Spirit leads you. Fear Yahuwah, keep His commandments, learn obedience. If you want to be led by His Spirit, then the times that you see coming, these dreadful and fearful times that are coming upon the earth, the mark of the beast, that where they're going to be hunting people down and killing you, you don't have to give in. That's right, you can be led by His Spirit. His Spirit may lead you to the guillotine. It may, and it may not. But I would rather be led by His Spirit to the guillotine than to not be led by His Spirit. I would rather have hope that I could be led by His Spirit and spared, where I can do some good and serve Him in bringing other people into His kingdom through whatever calamity comes upon the earth, whatever judgment comes upon America through all this, through the sword and the pestle and then the famine. I would rather be led by His Spirit. And that is where it begins. I don't know what more I can say. Well, you're listening to Cross the Border. Do visit my website, crosstheborder.org. And remember, I would like to hear from you there. Enjoy the articles there. I expose all the false prophets, the wall of the false prophets today. So hopefully you see enough truth there that that you'll move on. And start digging into the scripture for yourself. Stop believing the lies and all of the false prophecy, the things that make you feel comfortable. There are so many lies out there, so many things that people believe. The people have been so brainwashed. I know I was, starting with the public school system. Even though I can't imagine how bad it is today. I mean, I can only imagine how bad it is today, because I grew up in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. My childhood spanned, the 50s and the 60s. So to give you an idea of what the era was that I grew up in, and that was just when it was beginning to turn away. They were kicking God out of the schools and starting to really teach statism, the idolatry of statism, how the law of man is higher than the law of God leading men astray, teaching that you can go ahead and sin because it's all right by man's law, and excluding the Bible, the Word of God, from the school, so you couldn't learn that. And when you exclude the Bible, when you exclude religion, and you say, well, we're just going to be neutral, there is no neutrality. There is no neutral place. You want a neutral place? Well, go to the moon, you know. But on Earth, if you exclude one thing, then that's not neutrality. When you exclude everything spiritual or religious from education by itself is religious. You can't escape religion in education. And just by the exclusion, you're upholding that everything can exist and can be held in the light, well, in no light, really, in darkness. Because if you're excluding the light, you're saying that everything can exist and be understood without that light, if you withhold the light. And that makes it religious. And I guess that's all I have for today. So I'm going to leave you with that. We have concluded Jeremiah's lamentation. Where we'll go next time, well, we'll see where the Spirit leads. As always, in everything you say and everything you do, bless His holy name and say hallelujah.